We're really happy, as we always are, when we have Sam Cook on the phone. And Sam, of course, is the outdoor editor, outdoor columnist at the Duluth News Tribune and frequent guest here on the Roadhouse. Sam, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you guys again.
You know, I just talked to you a little bit off air, and Ann had just given our weather forecast for the weekend. A little gloomy.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I don't know.
I know what you're doing tomorrow, and that's going fishing in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I am. And I, you know, that's my job. And when it's your job, you don't always choose the days you go. You go when you need to go. And so I'm lined up with a fishing guide from Hayward, and we found some open water, which is pretty hard to do down there, even down there.
Man.
And we're going to fish for tomorrow morning, and I'm going to write a story tomorrow afternoon.
You know, Sam, we've both been around for a few years through a few openers, and I think back to those openers when the ice didn't go out, and when it didn't, it did within just a few days, a couple of days, or even the next day. You spent some time talking to all folks across the Northland about what they think is going to happen to the ice this year. Can you share just a little bit of what you heard?
Yeah, well, I talked to a bunch of, this is earlier this week, Monday and Tuesday, I talked to a bunch of bait dealers and resort owners from Duluth to, you know, up to Gunflint and to Gunflint Pines and up to Ely and all over. And, you know, it's interesting. I got kind of a mix. I went through and tallied it when I was through, and it was about close to 50-50 on who thought the ice was going to go out and who thought it wouldn't. And some of the ones who thought it would stretched from Duluth. This is out by the time of the opener, May 11th. Some were from Duluth, and one was from Crane Lake. So I don't know whether some people are blind optimists or just are trying to protect their business or what. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a long shot for some places north. But, you know, the other thing is we don't all know. We remember what happened last year and how the snow was all gone in like 4 days or something, and the ice went soon after that. And the sun's high this time of year if you see it, and things can happen really fast. So anything could happen theoretically, but we're running out of time.
When there's temperatures at like 28 degrees in the forecast,
right.
And
yeah.
Rain and sleet, it's just it takes all of our optimism away.
Right, and you know we've kind of it's been that way so much this spring, I guess because of the jet stream for a lot of that time, that you think, well, yeah, it could still happen, but we need to get some warm weather, and then it just wouldn't. You look at the forecast. We were all looking at the forecast, you know, as far out as you could read it, whether you trust it or not, and there was no hope. And then, you know, we had those nice, 4 days last weekend and stuff, and, whoa, you can see what happened. It's amazing how fast the snow recedes when you have some light. But I don't know. It's really going to be something to see, and I don't know whether we're going to have to. You know, some folks said, well, I think there'll be, you know, room around the edges of the ice for boaters to maneuver. And I'm thinking, well, how does that work exactly, you know? I don't know. And is there going to be open water at the landings to get the boats in? And what if it blows back? And, you know, there are just a lot of practical things you kind of wonder about.
What is it about the culture here in the Northland where not having the ice out for opener is a major tragedy?
I'm sorry. I don't know, except that it's like, it's kind of, the opener is our arbitrary demarcation of spring, you know? Mm-hmm. Now we can go sit in a boat and have those waves lap against the hull and listen to a minnow go plop over the side and have the possibility and, you know, almost the probability of a fresh walleye dinner that night. Well, that's a pretty good deal. Now, you know, you could do some of that through the ice in the winter and have the probability of the dinner, but it's good to be out on water. It's good to be floating. It's good to be rocking, and we like that. So that's partly what it is, I guess.
I have to agree with you there, but I wanted, you know, in what we faced this last few weeks, I wanted to hear something that sounded optimistic from you. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, the other side of this is, I was just thinking of this before you called, is we have choices, theoretically, of where we want to live, you know? And we could move if we wanted to and go live someplace. There are places where there's open water right now, you know? I mean, they exist. I went to Phoenix. There's no water there, but if there were, it would be wet, you know? And so we theoretically have that choice. But, you know, we say we love this country, and that's why we stay here. And let's face it, there's a certain amount of it that we kind of thrive on the extremes. I mean, we kind of like talking about it when it's 30 below or 40 below, and we kind of like, you read Facebook and you can clearly see that people are either embarrassed or proud enough of our weather here that they want to tell all their quote-unquote friends about it who may live farther south. So there's some kind of sadistic joy in telling people, you know, how, look, we are really tough. We are really suffering. Could you do this? Probably not. I think that's the message we're sending. And so, I don't know. We do like changes and extremes and stuff. So,
and I'm assuming that next weekend you're going to try Minnesota opener as well.
Yeah, but I'm covered.
Oh,
I'm fishing the St. Louis River.
Okay.
It's already flowing. So, uh-huh. And I thought, well, that'll simplify things. I won't, you know, I think it was in 2008 when it was fairly late, and I was fishing Vermilion, Lake Vermilion, for the opener, and I kept calling the fellow I was fishing with and up till the day before, and he said, yeah. So finally, the day before, he said, yep, I think it's going to go. Come on up. And so I went up that night, but that was pretty close. And, you know, there have been other openers where you get snowed on or whatever, but
there you go.
This could be historic, and I don't know. You know, I was thinking about going someplace north on Friday night before the opener just to hang out at a bait shop in Grand Rapids or someplace and do a story for the next day's paper, mm-hmm. just on what the mood is if there's really no open water, you know? And are people going to be at bait shops even? I don't know. Maybe they just go there for therapy, if not for shiners, you know?
It sounds like you're best to go to the St. Louis River.
Well, I'll go there for the opener on Saturday for sure. Oh, yeah. I'd have to come back that night. It would be kind of a crazy turnaround. But, you know, I'll admit, it's from a story standpoint, it's kind of fun to have something out of the ordinary to talk about. It's not the most pleasant thing to talk about, I guess, but it's still... it's exciting in some perverse way. I don't know. I mean, otherwise, if it weren't kind of crazy and exciting, it'd just be downright depressing. And, you know, there is that possibility, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't think I could live with the weather in San Diego all year. I'd get too bored.
Well, I think I would, too. But there are a lot of people from Minnesota who have moved to, you know, the Sun Belt, uh-huh. and... they seem, or for at least part of the year, they seem to get by all right. I don't know.
Yeah, they're defectors, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, we think less of them, of course. You know, and they're willing to live with that, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
they
close their ears to all the rumors.
Right. I mean, I was struck. I wrote a little column about this a couple weeks ago. I went to visit a couple old college buddies in Phoenix, and I'd never been there before, and you know, I could hardly get to the airport that day because of the snow and had to actually kick a berm into submission before I could park my car at the airport. And had worn sandals because I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get off at Arizona, you know, in Phoenix. And I got there and it was like, it was so perfect. It was so clean. The streets were unblemished. It was like a make-believe place. And I thought, possibly I've been suffering needlessly for too long. I don't know. It really forced me to think about it. And then I kind of came to my senses. Oh, I came back and shoveled once, and everything was okay. I was back.
But, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
You were back in time for that 24 inches, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, it's crazy.
But. Yeah. What, Sam, you've been through, as we spoke earlier, you've been through a number of openers.
Yeah.
And, of course... you've seen some early and some late and some cold and some warm, but they're all different. What was probably the toughest time to be sitting out in a boat on an opener that you've experienced?
Well, I remember in about 84, I fished with a gentleman from Cloquet, and we were fishing on sag, and it snowed that morning. I remember that being fairly miserable. I think it must be like for a woman being pregnant, and you just repress it after a while so that you can go through it again. I don't know. I don't want to offend any women. I haven't had any babies, and it's probably totally different than I'm thinking. But so you just kind of think, okay, that's it. And I do remember the snow blowing horizontally up on Island Lake near North Ome one year when I was fishing with a guide from Grand Rapids named Tom Newstrom. And the thing is, see, I'm kind of one step removed from it because I'm basically a writer. And you know, I'm paid to be out there to document this day in whatever way. These guys, they're just going to go anyway. And they really don't think that much of it. It's like, well, yeah, it's snowing, but I think the wind's just right for this drift. And we caught a bunch of walleyes that morning in the snow up on by North Ome. I don't know. I'm trying to think of others. There must have been some that were just balmy and sunny and lovely, but you know, you can't remember those.
No, that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah,
like you said earlier.
That's something in our brains or psyches that we always remember the unusual times. Those are a couple that I remember. I'm just trying to think. I have a list of where I've spent all the openers. One opener I spent up by Ely and didn't see another person till late in the morning. I was fishing on the Kwishwe River with Ken Hoopla and his wife Beth, and they caught a bunch of walleyes, and a photographer and I were in the other canoe, you know, watching and taking pictures, and you can get totally away from it and catch a bunch of walleyes, and that was a very unusual opener. Usually it's the St. Louis River where you can, often I've been on the St. Louis River where it's just a whole different set of social values apply. You can, if you cast and your line crosses one from another boat, that's just the way it is, and everybody's cool about it, and nobody's upset because you could almost walk, the old expression, walk from boat to boat, and you can hear conversations with people in other boats, and there are 30 or 40 boats in a small area, and I don't know, that always seems kind of weird to me, but I'll be doing it on Saturday, or a week from Saturday. So,
you know, I experienced one time with Roger Campbell, who's a great local guide here up on Saginaw and Seagull area, fishing with friends in a boat with Roger. And, you know, in the summertime, sometimes up here, you can get a very cold wind or a cold front that comes through, and it actually can start snowing, and the wind blows, and it comes on really suddenly, and then they're gone.
Yep.
And that's what we were experiencing. So we're kind of huddling up in the front and talking about, you know, I got our fishing poles down. Then it's cold and it's wind and it's snow. And I turn around and look, and there's Roger fishing out of the back, happy as a lark.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, this is when the fish really bite.
Well, you know? If you look at fish pictures, and I see a lot of fish pictures, and just kind of pay attention, there are a lot of fish pictures where people are wearing a lot of clothes and hoods are up and everything. So, yeah, and you know, it kind of reminds me of the time I was out on Lake Superior in the winter with a guy in about a, I don't know, 15-foot, 14-foot boat, and we're trolling back and forth for Kamloops rainbow trout, and I'm thinking the wind's picking up, and every time we troll back toward shore, I think, okay, well, now we'll go in. Nope, we just turn around and go right back out, and I'm thinking, I don't know whether these guys are tougher than me or dumber than me or what. I don't know for sure. Yeah, they're not dumber, I'm sure. And this guy, at one point, he says, yeah, this is a pretty nice day. The spray isn't freezing in the boat. See, so it's just a matter of lowering your expectations.
And yeah.
That's what our friend Jeff Larson says. You just have to lower your expectations. I'll tell you one other. You got a minute or not?
Oh, we have plenty of time, Sam.
One of the very first openers I covered as outdoors writer here at the paper, I went up to Williams Narrows Resort on where Winnie and Lake Winnebogoshish meets Cutfoot Sioux or Cutfoot Lake, and it was the best fishing I've ever seen on the opener. Everybody was catching fish, and I was just sitting on shore talking to people as they came in, and boat after boat after boat would unload limits of walleyes, and that was really an eye-opener for me very early in my career. We always think the limits should, or hope the limits would be bigger, or that, you know, you often don't get your limit. The average person doesn't, you know, all the studies have shown. But it just really showed me how much of an effect anglers can have cumulatively on a fishery if a whole bunch of people are there on a day when the fishing is really good, or, you know, like we've seen on Mille Lacs on entire summers when the fishing's been good. And it's really amazing. And that's the only time I've really witnessed that to such a degree. I've had good fishing with small parties a number of times, but I just have never seen kind of the total biomass extraction that I saw that day. It was pretty amazing.
You know, I remember when fishermen didn't throw back the big fish, and when fishermen didn't have the spring barriers during spawning season that we do now, and it did affect fishery pretty dramatically back then. Now most people are, it's catch and release for all the bigger fish, and there's slot limits, and yep. There's a lot of changes to help protect the fishery.
Yeah, and there are extra places, extra closures this year that it will be in effect with the opener and beyond because of that, because the walleyes will spawn later. The DNR at Grand Rapids, and I'm pretty sure at Pike Lake up on Lake Vermilion, haven't even started setting up their nets to trap walleyes and take eggs for stocking. And that'll probably be happening over opening weekend this year. And so, but yeah, that fortunately that those slot limits and new regulations and the catch and release ethic have really, that's been a huge change in the course of our time around here from, you know, in the past 30 years. I mean, it used to be to watch somebody put back a 5-pound walleye, that was unheard of, you know.
Yeah, it would be, you'd think, man, how could you do that?
Right.
And
right.
Now it's like, you should put that fish back.
Right. The total attitude change. And it just shows that you know, attitudes and values can change over the years. And I don't know, I've been to these DNR roundtable meetings, and they talk, when they're talking about changing limits of for fishing, and that the, and walleyes, the you'd have to lower the limit below 2 to make a big difference. You know, you can, if you lowered it from 6 to 5, it might change 5% of the overall catch, or I don't remember the exact figures, but it's pretty small until you get way down there. You'd have to really, and they don't want to reduce opportunity that much, so that's why they've gone to slot limits and other tools. But it's a neat deal that we've gotten so progressive about that, I guess. And St. Louis River is a 2-walleye limit, and people love fishing there. It's tremendous. And I remember when they put the slot in on Rainy, and it was a 4-fish limit with a, you know, like a 17 to 28 protected slot or something, and everybody thought that'd be the end of the world, and it's done wonders. It's been good.
We're speaking with Sam Cook, and Sam is the outdoor editor, outdoor columnist for the Duluth News Tribune, and Sam is going fishing tomorrow in Wisconsin. And Sam, would you like a little advice from my co-host, Ann?
Yes, I would.
For going walleye fishing. Ann, have you got
clothing advice, or what kind of advice is
it?
Well,
not a thing.
Not a
eat,
thing.
Eat frequently to stay warm. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, that's right. That's the other thing. These a lot of times the people I go out there with, eating, it just doesn't occur to them. I mean, you go out with these people, they can be out there for like, I don't know, 8 hours, and eat, yeah, I guess if you want a candy bar or something, you can have some. You know, it's just these people, I mean, I seek out people who are serious about it, I guess, but it's kind of amazing. So I'll try to do that, but I think it's probably best just to take a little, borrow one of those little metal trees from the hospital and take an IV out there and just run it straight in, because we really don't have time to quit fishing.
That's right.
Because it's like, you really, especially if you're doing a story, you both feel this unspoken pressure to get a fish in the boat, you know, so we have something to talk about or something to take a picture of.
Yeah. Well, that actually does bring up a question I have, Sam, okay. Is have you ever covered an opener where there just really wasn't a heck of a lot to say?
You mean like last year? Last year here, I think this will be perfect. You don't get a chance to do opener stuff on the Gunflint too often, because the lakes there do open later, and they're usually behind, and you know the walleyes aren't as hungry often by opener or whatever. But last year, when everything happened in March, I think this is the perfect year to go to the Gunflint. So I called Bob Baker and said, do you want to go out with the boys and your dad, and it'd be a nice story? Yeah, that'd be great. So we go out, and Clint, the photographer who went along from the newspaper, just bought a license at the very last minute at their resort, and we were fishing on SAG, and I mean, Clint caught the only fish of the day. He caught it in about the first half hour, and we didn't catch another fish after that, as I recall. And, you know, these guys are great fishermen. They know what they're doing. They know the lake. Bob's guided there. You got everything going for you you could, and you cannot make it happen. So, you just write it how it happens. I'm not glossing over it, and I never would make anything up. You just, I hope people understand that maybe it makes other people feel better when I poorly, you know?
When you get skunked?
Right. Yeah. And I can tell you there have been a number of people I've fished with through the years who I think take quite a bit of pride in outfishing me when I'm along. And they shouldn't, because it's not that hard. I don't know. It's and plus I put my rod down half the time and take notes or take pictures, and that's my excuse anyway.
You know, I know why Ann brought up eating while you're fishing, because her dog ate her food in the car and she's really hungry.
Oh, Ann, I'm sorry about that.
I know. I went to run an errand for not 1 minute, and I came back and that dang dog had torn into my dinner. And
yeah,
there it went.
They've got time. They're kind of bored. They're always hungry.
They're a little annoyed that you've left them alone.
Yeah, and they don't need much time to, you know, I have endless stories of the same kind about hunting, and, you know, I remember one of our pointers when I was a kid ate 15 ham sandwiches, four of us, and, you know, same thing. It was like 2 minutes or something. And
they don't savor.
Well, no, they don't savor. and just today, a buddy of mine and I went for a hike this morning. I was off, and we had our three labs, and we went to stop for a cup of coffee afterwards, I always have my dog in a kennel in the car, so I just don't worry about it, but all these dogs were in his car. They were all loose, and he had this bag of dog treats in the front seat, and I said, will your dogs eat these? And he said, no, they'll leave them alone. I said, really? Because I don't trust Lucy. I think she might eat them. And so I just took them in when we went in to have coffee and went through the line. I said, we just brought these. And I'm sure the people at the restaurant are going, oh, yeah, well, if you want to eat dog treats, that's fine, whatever. But I've had too many unusual things happen. And so I'm sorry about that. But
I'll live.
You know, you're not up on these 3 days into the Boundary Waters.
No,
there are other places to acquire
calories. A couple
thousand
yards from some food. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she's going to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been speaking with Sam Cook, and Sam is the outdoor editor, outdoor columnist at the Duluth News Tribune. You can also read the Tribune online, can't you, Sam?
DuluthNewsTribune.com.
Great. And Sam's going to be fishing tomorrow in Wisconsin. We feel happy that we're not.
That's mean-spirited.
I know it was.
I'm going to be thinking of you when I'm out there, and I hope we catch a whole bunch of fish, you know, or one at least.
We look forward to reading about it regardless of how it goes, Sam. And it's always such a treat to have you on the show here. And thank you so much for spending the time with us.
Okay, take care.